Gracious Heavenly Father, we ask you now to be with us in our spirits, Lord, in a great and wonderful way, so that we may not only hear the word, but receive the word. Now, Lord, I know these people are anxious to know the word of God, to receive it, and I, Lord, would be anxious also to give it. And help me to have a right and good and proper spirit, Lord, in delivering your word, so there may be great understanding in thy word. Lord, help us all now to be one and in the spirit, especially one with thee. We just open our hearts and our minds, Lord, particular to your word. Now, Lord, by your spirit may be quickened until we have that word in us as our very divine energy, our living energy, our all in all. We ask this in the name of Jesus Christ. Amen. Now, I want to bring a message this morning, a little different perhaps than what you're used to having received on the oneness of the Godhead. And the reason I am going to bring such a message is because this is the pertinent revelation of God himself in the midst of the seven candlesticks. Now you will notice in the first chapter of Revelation, and I won't give you time to read this, it'll be on your tape. In verse 12, and I turned to see the voice that spake with me. Notice he did not say the person, but he had to say the voice that spake with him. And I love that because this will be the word. And I being turned, I saw seven golden candlesticks, and in the midst of the seven candlesticks, one like unto the Son of Man, clothed with the garment, and so on, and so on. Now, in verse 20, the mystery of the seven stars, which thou sawest in my right hand, and the seven golden candlesticks are these. The seven stars are the seven messengers to the seven churches, and the seven candlesticks are the seven churches. In every age, and there are seven ages, there is one church who will be the true bride, and in every age there will be one true messenger to that age who will faithfully teach the people the revelation that God has given him, that they may have that revelation for their age. Now, if Christ is in the midst of the seven golden candlesticks, and it's his voice that is giving by the Spirit the word to the seven messengers, what is he in the seventh age? In verse 14 of chapter 3, Jesus Christ, speaking from the midst of the Seventh-day church, and unto the messenger of the church of the Laodiceans, write. Now, Laodicea means people's rights. The people of anarchy. The people who don't care about God. The people who don't care about anything but themselves. Lovers of pleasure. Lovers of self. Incontinent. Inordinate. Without natural affection. This is Laodicea. And this, by the way, is the year following the Jewish year that I described in my preamble. They had theirs in 1967. We're getting ours in 68. Because the United Nations has designated this year the 20th anniversary of Human Rights Day has now become a whole year celebration of human rights for the whole world. And you will see more riots, more problems, more anarchy than you ever saw in your life in 1968. And it may well cause the government of America to collapse, and I believe our own financial system. There'll be without a doubt, as my mind, the dollar will be devalued, though that won't hurt us too terribly much. It'll hurt some. But it'll be the bringing on of the collapse which we must go into. Now, unto this church write, these things saith the Amen. The wind-up. The concluder. I am Alpha and Omega. Omega, the beginning and the end. I am the Amen, saith the Lord. The Amen, the faithful and true martyr, witness is marturion, which means witness and martyr, and the beginning of the creation of God. Now notice, this is the beginning of the creation of God, saying Amen to the creation of God, which is God creating himself in the form of human flesh, which he did in Christ, and now inhabiting human form. He's saying amen to it. The day of the baptism with the Holy Ghost ends in this age. It's all over. The last elected sheep has been brought in and sealed. Now, let's go back and look at Isaiah 65, which is the end time message again. And it says here, concerning Jerusalem restored in the millennium. That's concerning the great end time. We go to about verse, well, let's take 13. That's all right. We could read many other verses. We start there. Therefore, thus saith the Lord God, behold, my servant shall eat, and but ye shall be hungry. Behold, my servant shall drink, but ye shall be thirsty. Behold, my servant shall rejoice, but ye shall be ashamed. Behold, my servant shall sing for joy of heart, but ye shall cry for sore of heart, and shall howl for vexation of spirit. And ye shall leave your name for a curse unto my chosen, for the Lord God shall slay thee, and call his servants by another name. Now, that he who blesses himself in the earth shall bless himself in the God of truth, and he that sweareth in the earth shall swear by the God of truth, because the former troubles are forgotten, and because they're hid from mine eyes. For behold, I create new heavens and a new earth, and the former shall not be remembered. But be you glad and rejoice forever in that which I create, and so on. You will notice in here that God is jumping from a people who rejected him to a people who will be under his constant blessing, which is the millennium. And he says here, he says, now watch it, and he who blesses himself shall bless himself in the God of truth. Now that is a mistranslation. It's the God of the Amen. So the God of the Amen in the Old Testament is the God of the Amen in the New Testament, which is the Lord Jesus Christ. And the great revelation to the Laodicean age is that there is one God who is the Lord Jesus Christ, the eternal, self-existent, omnipotent, omniscient God is one in number, and he is the Lord Jesus Christ. Now remember that this is the end time revelation of God to the church. This is what has been lost for five ages, 2, 3, 4, 5, and 6. But if there's going to be a restoration, it's going to have to happen in the last church age. And the restoration is going to be a revelation. And the revelation is that the one standing in the midst of the church is the God of the Amen. Just what it says here in that first chapter. Now notice in the chapter number 2, a revelation, it says, unto the messenger of the church of Ephesus write, these things said he that holdeth the 7 stars in his right hand, and walketh in the midst of the golden candlesticks. Now, verse 14 of chapter 3 says that this one is the Amen walking in those candlesticks. This same Jesus, Lord God of hosts, one God, is the same one back here in verse 14 of chapter 3. And he is the God of creation. And he is coming for his people. Now, Brother Branham said that the most important revelation of the end time was that God was one God, and his name was the Lord Jesus Christ, and that it was paramount that everybody be baptized in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, because as we all know, Father is not a name, and Son is not a name, and Holy Ghost is not a name that tells what it is. What is the name singular of Father and Son and Holy Ghost? It is Lord Jesus Christ. Even as it tells in the book of Zechariah, I believe, that at the end time there should be one Lord and his name one. See? Who is this one in the midst of the golden candlesticks? He's the Amen. He's also the Alpha. But he's the Omega now. He's coming to end it all. The complete revelation of the one God in the end time. Now, since this is the most important revelation of the end time, and it behooves everyone as thus saith the Lord to be baptized correctly, signifying their understanding, it behooves us then to study the scripture concerning one God. And we'll turn to the book of John, the 10th chapter. And I'm going to have to preach this in 2 sermons. So if you aren't too discouraged at me barking this morning, you come back tonight and we'll see how it goes then. Beginning in verse 22, not that I want to hurt anybody. That's not the point. Sometimes you have to be a little bit hard in order for a point to stick when it comes. You know how it is. If you have a wheel that's been stuck on with friction for so long, you just don't take a toothpick and pry it up, you wallop it one. And that's what we got to do at times. it hit harder than you think a person should in order to sort of, to gain a little emphasis. That's all. In verse 22, and it was at Jerusalem, the feast of the dedication, it was winter, and Jesus walked in the temple of Solomon's porch. Then came the Jews round about and said unto him, how long dost thou make us to doubt? If thou be the Christ, tell us plainly. Now, if they'd have really known the scripture concerning him, they would have got it. Is that right? See how dangerous it is, brother and sister, not to know the word for your day? See? They missed him the first time. Will they miss him the second? They're going to miss him the second. Even you and I are in danger, brother and sister. We don't get smart now. See? No man can think himself arrives until he arrives. Let no man boast putting on his armor like he who takes his armor off. See? Tell us plainly. Jesus answered them, I told you, and you believe not. The works that I do in my Father's name, they bore witness. You just turned them down too. But you believe not because you are not my sheep. As I said unto you, my sheep hear my voice, and I know them, and they follow me. If he knows them, what does it mean? He goes where the sheep are. He never went everywhere, even in Jerusalem. And I give unto them eternal life, and they shall never perish. Neither shall any man pluck them out of my Father, out of my hand. My Father which gave them me is greater than all. And no man is able to pluck them out of my Father's hand. I and my Father are one. Then the Jews took up stones again to stone him. And Jesus answered them, many good works have I showed unto you from my Father. For which of these works do you stone me? Notice he's going to put them right on the spot now. Watch it. Well, let's get over your head. This is coming. This has come to pass right in this last age here. It's in the article I read to you. He's tricking them. He threw them a curve. See? He wanted them to confess exactly who and what they were. They answered and said, for a good work we stone thee not, but for blasphemy, because thou being a man, makest thyself God. Now, how did he make himself God? By doing the works? No, sir. By saying he was. They said, it's what you said. It's not what you did. Now, if you don't see Brother Branham's ministry right here, you don't know anything. If you haven't been looking. Well, you're not in my position to pick up phones and make long-distance phone calls and talk to men. And they say, well, Brother Dale, he's a wonderful man. But his doctrine. And I was just asleep. And I said, but sir, isn't it true that our fathers came out of people who ridiculed our doctrine? Isn't it possible that we could be wrong today in the light of what this man teaches, even as forefathers were wrong? Oh, I had him cold turkey over a barrel, but you couldn't convince him. Same spirit. But Brother Vail, these men are sweet. They're religious. So were these. What do you think these were? Bunch of bank robbers with a Bonnie and Clyde disposition? No, they sure showed it. When it came to making a run on God's people and God's things, they showed what they had. This same group will show the same thing today. And can I stop here and tell you something? If I don't get really moving this morning, it's okay. I'll stay the rest of the week. I don't think I will, but I want to tell you something right now while I got it in my mind. Do you want to know how easy you can be tricked with the mark of the beast? You really want to know? All right, I'm going to tell you. Two colored brethren in New York went to go to the jails and the hospitals. And they said, what organization are you with? And they said, none. They said, then you cannot get in. So Mayor Lindsay, being a very chatty, outgoing type of person, has his office door open to all and sundry who may come with whatsoever. And they came with whatsoever. And they said, we can't visit in the hospitals and jails, but we'd like to. Why? He said, this is astounding. Why can't you visit? Well, they said, because they won't let us in. We don't belong to any organization. Well, now you see, Mayor Lindsay likes all the votes, so he wants everybody organized or unorganized, which is very, very, very right in politics. It was not right in the church. It's fine for politics. So he said, I'll just look into this thing. So he calls in an executive, and they call in the World Council of Churches. And the World Council of Churches says, send them over to us. We'll help them get in. So the two boys went to the World Council of Churches, and they said, what do you belong to? They said, nothing. Oh, they said, that's your trouble. Just join with us. Well, what do you have to believe? Oh, that doesn't mean a thing. Where do you have to be from? Oh, that doesn't mean a thing. If you want to go to the jails and hospitals, it doesn't mean you just sign with us, and you can come right in. And there is where everybody's going to get trapped in the end time. They're going to say, just like it doesn't matter why you, dear Methodists and Presbyterians and Baptists and Pentecostals and God knows what, it doesn't matter why. This is just a framework coming just to do this. Sign along here, that's all there is to it. That, just like that, dead. Now you see what I'm talking about? If you're an organization, brother, sister, you're dead. You got your name on a church roll, forget it. Oh, you may hate me for it. That's all right. I don't care if I'm hated or not. That's beside the point. I'm just here for one thing, to tell the truth. You're dead. See? Jesus said, they said, you blaspheme. Now, you can't blaspheme unless you talk. You got to talk to blaspheme. Oh, you say, well, a man could blaspheme by going down here and worshiping an idol. Or offering to it. Well, you can call that if you want, but Jesus never called that blasphemy. He called attributing to Satan the works of God. That's a vocal matter. And Jesus answered and said, is it not written in your law, I said, ye are gods? If he called them gods, unto whom the word of God came, who did the word of God come to? The prophets. And the scripture cannot be broken. Say ye of him whom the Father hath sanctified and set apart and put in the world. What is he saying? Then can you call me not God when I am the fulfillment of the very word that came to the prophets? Why do you say you blaspheme because I said I am the Son of God? For if I do not the works of my Father, believe me not. He said, you try and do it. Show me a prophet that did it. See? The best Moses could ever do was get delayed action. But this man right now. Moses stretched forth his rod, by morning the sea was open. Christ said, storm be still, stops. Moses said, let there be quails and things, and all night the wind blew, the quails came. Christ said, loaves and fishes. Just like that. The only two places you'll find Moses getting instant results, as far as I know, is the talking to the rock and the smiting the rock. Smiting the rock and then smiting it the second time when he should have spoken. And even then, Moses had to get up and harangue the people and say, I'm going to do this certain thing because a certain thing is taking place. Christ just said, here it is. Nobody could stand. See? Now he said, but if I do, though ye believe me not, believe the works. See, believe the works. In other words, now, first of all, let's get this straight. Where did those works really come from? They'd have said, well, they really came from God. Then this man had to come from God. This man came from God. Listen. See? He wouldn't do it. I've had people get up in meetings and say, Brother Branham did these things by psychic spirits. That man was in the Assemblies of God, in the Assemblies of God church down in Florida, said that thing. Yet he had enough spiritual discernment in his day to say, Brother Branham had something from the devil. I wonder what he had. I know one thing, Brother Branham's devil was bigger than his God, so I would have switched allegiance right there. Because I want to be on the winning side when I'm in a fight. That's right, he had the nerve to say it, and people listened. If I do not the works of my Father, believe not. But if I do, though ye believe me not, if you don't believe it, I say believe those works. That you may know and believe. See? He knew if they'd start someplace. Start someplace with their faith, they'd get there. But you see, they're not. They won't start. That ye may know and believe that the Father is in me and I in him. And therefore, of course, they thought to take him again and escape. Now, John 33, listen to this verse. The Jews answered him, saying, for a good work we stone thee not, but for a blasphemy, because thou, being a man, makest thyself God. Jesus Christ was accused of blasphemy against God. And actually condemned to death. Because the Jewish concept of what truth was forbade them to accept the possibility or any possibility of God manifesting himself in flesh. See? By natural birth, of course. By birth. Mark 14:60-64 says, the high priest stood up in the midst and asked Jesus, saying, answerest thou nothing? What is it which these witnesses witness against thee? But he held his peace and answered nothing. Again the high priest asked him and said unto him, art thou the Christ, the Son of the Beloved? And Jesus said, I am. And ye shall see the Son of Man sitting on the right hand of power and coming in clouds of heaven. Then the high priest rent his clothes and said, what need we any further witness? You have heard the blasphemy. What do you think? And they all condemned him to be guilty of death. Now please be careful here. When the high priest asked Jesus if he, Jesus, were the Son of the Blessed, he was not saying that there was a Son of God. He was only inquiring if Jesus Christ made himself or set himself forth as being the Son of God. Now, the Jews could not accept that. They were too wise to accept the old fallacy that gods come down and cohabit with women. And they knew that Jesus did not claim that either. For he said of himself, I came from God and I go back to God. See? So he never said the gods came down or God came down and impregnated a woman. That he cohabited with her. That's why Brother Branham kept on saying it was without it was birth, it was pregnancy without sensation. See? It wasn't the gods coming down to rape or to cohabit with women. See, that would be a demigod. He distinctly said, I came from God and I go back to God. See? They knew he wasn't saying that that he was like the Egyptian myth and the Roman myth and the Greek myth, which is a corruption of the seed of the woman. Which the ancient knew that the woman would bear a child apart from male intervention through the intervention of God. See? Then it got all warped in human mind because of the adoration of sex. It became their pleasurable pastime. So therefore now they had the gods doing it. They knew only too well that God appeared to Abraham in the likeness of a man full grown. But this Jesus, this is different. He never appeared as a man full grown. They knew where he was born. They knew his temple record of circumcision. They knew of his growth from child to manhood. It was well documented. His mother was known, and Joseph never denied that she had brought him forth. And Jesus never did call Mary mother, or he addressed her as woman, which is an endearing term in the Greek, but does not signify a blood relationship or give her the right to be called his own mother. However, no. Now, I said that neither the Jews nor Jesus were trying to set forth a sonship based upon physical relations. The proof of this is found in John 5:18. And I'm going to read Dr. Wieck's account of it. On this account, therefore, the Jews... I better read it for you first in your own Bibles. Your own versions. King James. Therefore, the Jews sought the more to kill him, because he not only broken the Sabbath, but said also that God was his Father, making himself equal with God. Now, here's Wieck will explain it. On this account, therefore, the Jews kept on seeking the more to kill him off. Because not only was he continuing to break, which in the Greek means to weaken the Sabbath. See, the Sabbath is weakened. It's done away with. Our Sabbath is rest, which is the Holy Ghost. But also, now listen, because he was saying that God was his privately owned, unique Father. A Father in a way in which no one else had him for a Father, making himself equal with deity. See? That's the literal translation. Now I'll prove it to you. In John 8:39-41, then answered and said unto him, the answer said unto him, that's the Pharisees, Abraham is our father. And Jesus said unto them, if you were Abraham's children, you'd do the works of Abraham. But now you seek to kill me, a man which has told you the truth, which I heard of God, this did not Abraham. Ye do the lusts of your father. They said unto him, we be not born of fornication. We have one Father, even God. They traced themselves by their genealogy right back to Adam, who was the son of God, so they four, according to the flesh, were sons of God. They said, well, we can recognize the fact we're sons of God because we're born in this race. We're Israelites. He said, I'm not talking about that. I have God in a unique relationship to Him that nobody else has because I came from God and I go back to God. I am set apart from this whole rotten, corrupted human mass that you know it now. I'm different. He was the second Adam. Certainly. And they said, we won't take that. Now the Jews, when they said he makes himself equal to God, they were saying he is making himself God. Because the word equal in the Greek means equal in size and in number and in quality. Now, if you're equal in size and number and equality concerning God, you've got to be gone. Now, let's see if that's right. Philippians, the second chapter. Now here is this one God. God come down and dwell in flesh. Not two gods, not three gods, but one God. Philippians 2 and 6. Who being in the form of God, being, the word being is a word denoting prior existence. The word form is not shape, but the essential nature of absolute deity. And already being God, see, thought it not robbery. No, that word is a prize to be grasped. Something to go after, to grab and retain. Thought it not a prize to be retained, to be equal, or to retain his previous form. You follow it now? Go over it. Look at it. Already being the essential matter, nature, and all of God, he never desired to retain that and selfishly maintain it so that man could not be reclaimed. He never maintained it. See? He never hung on to that. But what did he do? He condescended now by changing his outward appearance, masking himself in a human form. Now Israel understood that. They knew the scripture concerning Melchizedek. They knew the scripture concerning Abraham. They knew the scripture concerning Samson's father, Manoah. They knew that God appeared as a human being, but he appeared and went as a full-grown man. And they said, now, just a minute here. This is kind of shady. Well, we got no scriptural precedence for God appearing as a baby, growing up into manhood. Now, when this man says that, now he's got to be a liar. Because, you see, when he says what he's saying, I'm God come in this peculiar way. Now, if he were the real one, no man would know where he was coming from, and no man would know where he was going. He'd appear in the scene. See, that wasn't really scripture. And they were divided on that. Don't think they weren't, because in the days of Herod, when they began looking for him, they said he's going to be born out here. But they weren't looking for God to come down. They're just looking for Superman to come. They couldn't take that. Hebrews 1 and 3. Let's see this. Who being the brightness of his glory and the express image of his person, and upholding all things by the word of his power. Notice, who being the brightness of his glory. This is the fullness or the outshining of God's glory and the express image, the expression of his substance. You can't look on God and live. The expression of God's substance was a man. Certainly, you know that. Listen, doesn't that make clearly what it says over here in the book of John, the epistle of John? It says, that which was from the beginning, which we have heard, which we have seen with our eyes, which we have looked upon, and our hands have handled of the word of life, for the life was manifested, and we have seen it, and bear witness, and show unto you that eternal life. Isn't that it? That's God. Manifest as a man. Doesn't say two gods, and one of them came down. It says it's God. The express image. Now, when Christ set himself forth as that one indicated in the Word, the one like unto Moses, Emmanuel, God manifest in flesh, they knew that he meant that he was God come down amongst men, dwelling as man amongst men, and they would not take it. They said, we are not going to have this one like this one says he is, as our Redeemer, our Messiah. No, sir, in fact, he's getting to be to a problem now where we're going to lose our place in our nation. So we're going to have to get rid of them. Now in John 12, 32 to 34. And if I be lifted up from the earth, will draw all men unto me. This he said, signifying what death he should die. The people answered him, we have heard out of the law that Christ abideth forever. See? And they knew that people who were born in this world didn't abide forever. They weren't accepting anybody to come and give his life as a sacrificial lamb. How sayest thou then, the Son of Man must be lifted up? Who is this Son of Man you're talking about? You can't be Messiah, and the Son of Man can't be Messiah. Or if they were one, they wouldn't clash in our understanding of Scripture. It's just this, you've got us all balled up here, they said. Now go back to the book of Matthew, Matthew 22, 41 to 45. While the Pharisees were gathered together, Jesus asked them, what think ye of Christ, whose son is he? And they said, the son of David. And he said unto them, how then doth David in spirit call him Lord, saying, the Lord said unto my Lord, sit thou on my right hand, till I make thine enemies thy footstool. If David then called him Lord, how is he his son? All right, here's a good question. A very good question. How in the world can Jesus Christ be called Son if he's God? No man could answer him. How does David in spirit call him Lord, he said? And yet this one you call Lord is a son. Was that right? David in spirit called a coming one Lord. Yet it's David's son. How can a father call a son Lord? How can a son be Lord? Well, isn't that it? If David called him Lord, how can he be a son? They couldn't answer him. You ask the same question today. How can Jesus Christ be the Son of God and yet God? How can he be the Father? Here's your example right here, actually, in David. But he is. They couldn't figure it. It was the Holy Spirit in David telling that this same Holy Spirit would come forth in a child. David's own creator. Of course, created from back to Adam. I'm being human lineage, you know. That he was gone. Now, John 11. The Pharisees and chief priests, gathered the chief priests and Pharisees of council and said, what do we? for this man doeth many miracles. If we let him alone, all men will believe on him. See, they knew that. Christ said, believe for the word's sake. They begin to believe. The Romans shall come and take away both our place and nation. And one of them named Caiaphas, being high priest that same year, said unto them, you know nothing at all, nor consider that as expedient for us that one man should die for the people and that the whole nation should perish. What was their concept of Christ? Their concept of Christ was not according to the word. They had their own ideas. Now, where did they get this idea? Well, if you didn't know it, they got it out of the Bible. You can get a lot of ideas out of the Bible, right? In fact, the Baptists got Baptist ideas out of the Bible. The Methodists got Methodist ideas out of the Bible. The Nazarenes got Nazarene ideas out of the Bible. The Pentecost got Pentecost ideas out of the Bible. Certainly. I won't argue that point. I know that's true. Israel did the same thing. Look at Psalm 72:17-18. His name shall endure forever. His name shall be continued as long as the sun. And men shall be blessed in him. All nations shall call him blessed. And blessed be his glorious name forever. Let the whole earth be filled with his glory. Amen. They like that psalm. Christ abides forever. What about this Son of Man being lifted up? See? That's right. They couldn't place the scripture for its day. They had the right scripture in the wrong place. Nothing wrong with the Bible. You just got to get it placed right. Psalm 102, 25-27. Of old hast thou laid the foundation of the earth, and the heavens are the work of thy hands. They shall perish, but thou shalt endure. Yea, all of them shall wax old like a garment. As a vesture thou shalt change them, and they shall be changed. But thou art the same, and thy years have no end. The children of thy servants shall continue, and their seed shall be established before thee. See? They said, well, now look, they're going to take away our place in our kingdom. Goodness me, this can't happen. Well, this couldn't possibly be the one. We've got scripture. And they did, too. Oh, don't ever think they didn't have scripture. They had it. Isaiah 9, 6 and 7. For unto us a child is born, unto us a son is given. And the government shall be upon his shoulders. His name shall be called Wonderful, Counselor, the Mighty God, the Everlasting Father, and the Prince of Peace. The increase of his government and peace there shall be no end. Upon the throne of David and upon his kingdom to order it and to establish it with judgment, with justice from henceforth even forever. The zeal of the Lord of hosts shall perform this. This is what they were banking upon. But brother, sister, they had scripture but in the wrong place. And therefore it couldn't happen. That's why Brother Branham kept saying the message of Noah would do in the day of Moses. The message of Christ would not have done in the day of Noah. Neither would Moses' message do in the day of Christ. And today it's the same thing. There's a message for this day, and it wouldn't have done in any other age, and the message of Pentecost would not do for this age. Neither would Wesley's message do. And those who don't want to take the new word, the new message, the message for their day, which is scripture properly placed for the age, they're living in the glare of an age, and they'll never make it. They won't, because when you reject the word, you reject Christ. People say, well, Brother Bill, I don't reject the word. You say, I don't understand it, you see. I can't place it. Well, you've got a prophet for this day. The Bible says, believe his prophets, and you'll be successful. They were thoroughly confused at the time of Christ because they could not interpret the scripture as God coming in flesh to redeem his people by sacrifice. They thought that God, being a spirit, he would simply send his spirit upon men and establish the kingdom on earth as he did through David. To them, the spirit of Christ was a national spirit, and Israel is so blind that she believes that very thing right today. Israel right today believes that Isaiah 53 is the suffering of the Jews. You begin what's going to happen, brother, sister? Jesus made a prophecy. Now, you listen carefully to what he said. He said, you shall not see me henceforth anymore until you say, blessed is he that cometh in the name of the Lord. He said, there's coming a time, Israel, and you're not going to see me until you say, let God send somebody. I don't care who he sends in his name. Only let somebody come. We'll listen this time. They haven't done it yet, but they're going to. Now, if Israel, brother, sister, are going to say that, what do you think of the people caught in the Great Tribulation
When they say, well, wasn't this supposed to happen? Wasn't that supposed to happen? And look where we are. Oh, my God, the rapture must have taken place. Is Bible being fulfilled, brother, sister? Have they ever said yet, blessed is he that comes in the name of the Lord? No, sir, but they're soon going to say it. They're soon going to say, let anybody come. Then when they see him come, they'll say, well, praise God, he came. He did answer. Then when they see the scars, they say, well, just a minute, you're not what I hope or what I think. You couldn't be that one 2,000 years ago. Our fathers crucified, oh yes. Just, they always did the same. They always did the same. And right today, don't you understand that when Paul came on the scene, they tried to kill him? And the next age, when the men came on the scene, they tried to kill them? And the third age, and the fourth age, and the fifth age? And right today, the people are hateful against the prophet of God who came. All the time saying, well, now, if he were really the prophet, he would be accepted. If he were really the prophet, he wouldn't be accepted. That's where anybody tells me they've got a growing and blooming church on this message, I say, hold it, something's wrong somewhere. You mean the people haven't left you yet? No, sir, well, there's something wrong. You're not preaching the truth, brother, then somewhere down the line, something's messed up. Few there be that find it. The only time you get an ingathering on any word is when it's corrupted. Because the buzzards and the buzzards only eat carrion food. Eagles got to have fresh food. I want to ask you a question. You don't believe that's true. Is Isaiah 53 fresh food? No, sir. It's historical. Right? Amen. It's historical. What's the food for this day? Think it over. The only food for this day is what will help us to survive in this period to present us to Christ. I want to ask you a question. Will the Feast of the Trumpets give you the food for it? Will the message in the sixth seal give you? You know about the earthquakes coming, don't you? And the cataclysms? And our sea coast will fall until 1/6 blotted out like that? Fire falling out of heaven? The sun scorched? Is that coming? Is it? Is that your message? Is that your warning? No! If we're bright, that has nothing to do with us. What has to do with us? Now that's making us think, isn't it? That gets us away from all the corruption and crass ignorance of these things we've been messing with for a long time. What do we need for this day? It says Elijah must first come. Restoration's got to come. But that's not world revival. A man gets up, all men, they send you their magazines, they send you their anointed handkerchiefs, their anointed pocketbooks, they keep bleeping and wailing for money and this and that. And all the time they're saying, give us the money. You just had a guy here 5 days. Give us the money. We're in the world. Give us the money. You'll go to hell with your money, because that's exactly what Peter said. And if you think I'm swearing over this pulpit, I've got news for you, honey. It says right in the Greek, when Simon the sorcerer went to Peter and said, give us those gifts, Simon said, to hell with your money. Not your money perish with you. You call him cursing. Go ahead if you want to. That wasn't cursing or slang. It's right in the Bible. You say you've got to use bad language? No, I wasn't using bad language. Just waking up a little bit. Because Peter was saying that's where your money's going. And any man comes today and say he needs money to win the world for God, that man's going where Peter said his money was going. Say, but Brother Bale, don't Brother Bale me. Oh, he's a great man, Brother Bale. He does this, he does that. Oh, does he? The scripture says many shall come in that day. Many shall come in that day. Huh? Get your Bibles out. Certainly. They turned down Jesus Christ. They were confused. They were willing to accept men as prophets and kings whose ministry by the Spirit of God would restore Israel to national stature, whose glory would never fail, who would control the Gentiles, so-called, the one language, one people, from one man would control all others. But it didn't work. Because they turned down God's message for the day. What did they turn down? Listen to me carefully now. They turned down God's manifested word for his day. Now listen to me. God never sends his word anytime for anybody to just blindly swallow it. God always raises up men and gives them infallible proof of the ministry whereby you can check it with the word and follow it. It happened in every age and it happened in this age. Just like Christ said, look at the works. Now you believe me. If God Almighty needed works, He needed the right thing from the right word to come at the right time to back up his word. And I want to tell you, brother, sister, there had to come a man in this day with the very works that would give the people the clue to what he was. But everybody came on the scene impersonating. And the one man said, I saw in Brother Branham that night up there in Oregon. When that man fell at his feet, that devil-possessed man fell at his feet, lay across his feet. And he said, something said, you can do the very same works. That's the way Christ did it. And the same man preaching in a funeral oration, a memorial service to Brother Branham, said the very same thing. Now people rise up and do the same thing. Alive from the pit of hell. God sent Jesus Christ with the works to gain the attention. So the message would come forth, which was a message of death and resurrection, that all men might believe, that the Holy Ghost might fall. Today we have the message of a prophet for the end time. The man came on the scene. And just like Simon and the sorcerer, who said to those men, Peter and John and James, let me have this same gift. Let me do these things that you're doing. And he said, your money perish. Because you're missing it. This is eternal salvation we're dealing with. And today, brother, sister, we're dealing with a group of people who will not go up above those who are coming out of the ground. But this people, their eyes will be opened and they will be changed, and they'll see the living now in paradise come back and claim their bodies that come out of the grave. That's what we're looking for. See, brother, there, then where is all this great compassion? Why don't you talk to God about it? I'm not God. What are we running? Some kind of a stupid theater down here where the act goes on and on and on and on and we walk out finally? Or is there a consummation? Does the curtain ring down sometime and finale be blazed across it and say, it's home time? I didn't write the book. I'm only saying this, not on the defensive, but get something through to you. We're at the end time, brother, sister, at the end time, the curtain's ringing down. Walk that atmosphere of fear and dread. Walk with the hushed voice of solemnity. He's right there. He's just around the corner. One moment I may face to face with the men coming out of the grave and the women who love Jesus Christ. That's right. You can't have this going on forever and ever. It was this way with Jesus when he came on earth. He said, it's all over now. I'm here for the slaughter. Oh, they said, it's got to go on. And it's been going on. And for their pains, their names were taken out of the book of life. In Psalm 69, he said, take their names out of the book of life, because he didn't see. The law was until John, and grace and truth came by Jesus Christ. Notice what I said there. Did you catch it? The law was by till John. It finished, didn't it? The law was until. Until. Didn't say the law was with John. It says the law was until John. And grace and truth came by Jesus Christ. In between was a transition period. And there's a transition period right now, brother, sister, going on. And the Jews said, oh, we like the old better. We'll stick with the old way of doing it. Bless God, we've always had things going our way. We'll get them going our way. People say right today, let's get the great signs. I'm not against signs and miracles, but you better watch it. Because God said he would send prophets with signs and wonders to see if you could be led away. Did he? Is that what he said? Or has he changed? Can somebody show me this morning where God changed just once when he said that? He said, I'll send a man among you with signs and wonders to see if you can be led astray. Did he say it? Come on, it's in the Bible, Deuteronomy, it's either 13 or 18. He said it, didn't he? Show me where he changed. Show me where he changed. So, brother Bill, I'm confused. You don't have to be confused. Because which man came with the sign of the Messiah? William Branham, prophet of God. Nobody else. Nobody else. Oh, they'll rise up and you'll think they got the same thing, but just watch. If you watch, they don't have it. You watch how they leave that word. And watch the one thing they always do. They take up their offerings. Say, Brother Vale, they got to take it up. Do they got to take it up? You put your churches in order. No man to take 1 cent. You get your preacher straightened out. Amen. You get the men that call the leading the church, the pastors, the apostles, the prophets, you get them straightened out of money. You'll never take up another offering. Other than just your what's by natural course. In other words, no pulling, no screaming, no straining. You find one person in needing pulling for money, forget it. Let it be done just by the Scripture. There's your golden calf. But they turned down Christ. They turned down today. Now, let us not be led astray here. It is not that the people of Israel did not have the truth. The leaders of Israel did have the truth. Now, watch it. They had the truth, but they lacked the revelation of the truth. Let's go to Matthew 12. You still with me? I haven't even got going yet in the subject. I'll get that tonight. The preamble is too necessary here, because I can cover too many things which are needed in this end time. Matthew 12, 22, beginning. Then was brought unto Jesus one possessed with a devil, blind and dumb, and he healed him, insomuch that the blind and dumb both saw and spake. And all the people were amazed and said, Is not this the son of David? And when the Pharisees heard it, they said, This fellow doth not cast out devils, but by Beelzebub, the prince of the devils. And Jesus knew their thoughts and said unto them, Every kingdom divided against itself is brought to desolation, and every city or house divided against itself shall not stand. And if Satan cast out Satan, he is divided against himself. How then shall his kingdom stand? And if I by Beelzebub cast out devils, by whom do your children cast them out? Therefore they shall be your judges. But if I cast out devils by the Spirit of God, then the kingdom of God is come unto you. Else how can one enter in a strong man's house and spoil his goods? Except he first bind the strong man, then he will spoil his house. He that is not with me is against me, and he that gathereth not with me scattereth abroad. Wherefore I say unto you, all manner of sin and blasphemy shall be forgiven unto men. But the blasphemy against the Holy Ghost shall not be forgiven unto men. You see, Christ could forgive at that time. Why? Because he was the sacrificial Lamb of God. How could he hold anything against him? They could say, You're a devil. I'll forgive you. You're two devils. I forgive you. Boy, you talk about a rotten imposter. Sorry. Sacrificial Lamb. But he said, You wait till I come back with the Holy Ghost. Talk that way. Sure. Blasphemy. You better be careful, brother. You better be careful. I don't have to be careful. You know why? Because I know the truth. I never said these men were doing things by the devil. I said they had the Holy Ghost. Just like Judas had the Holy Ghost to cast out devils. Satan never cast out devils. Satan doesn't heal the sick. Only God does those things. These men have that power from God to do it. It's God's power, but it's prostituted. That's why he said, You depart, you workers of iniquity. You took my good gifts and led the people astray. All the time in my name. How contemptible can a person get? No wonder he said, Depart from me, you that work iniquity. You talk about the man that was fed by a family, then he kills them all and takes what little money they had? Huh? You talk about a woman who would marry a man for his money and then get his money and walk off? You say, Boy, how low can people get? How low can a Christian get, so-called? He takes the Spirit of God in his life, performs miracles, and has a golden calf scheme for people's money. Lives in lovely homes, Cadillac cars, this, that, and everything. Oh, he's got a real racket going. And he's always screaming, This is for the poor heathen. Give us the money, and we'll win them. Well, then the money's the Holy Ghost then. You know what a philosopher so-called told me years ago, a man that studied numerology? He said, The word God in America spells money. That is, God in America is twofold. It's a piece of gold, and it's a woman. The god is gold, and the goddess is a stripped female. And whosoever speaketh the word against the Son of Man, it shall be forgiven him. But whosoever speaketh against the Holy Ghost, it shall not be forgiven him, neither in this world nor in the world to come. Either make the tree good and his fruit good, or else make the tree corrupt and his fruit corrupt. For the tree is known by his fruit. O generation of vipers. Now, what seed brings forth fruit? What is seed? Word. See? If I'm not that tree in the word, cut me down. That's what John said. Now is the axe laid to the root of all trees. Whack them down. If I'm not that tree, cut me down. You can tell if I'm word. And you know, they had the word. O generation of vipers, how can you, being evil, speak good things? What's the most important thing a man can bring you? Is word, nothing but word. People walk out of Brother Branham's meetings, we're just preaching word. They want the excitement. Preacher, tell us, give us a text and give us a bunch of stories. A man from New York who people are aggrandized, love and acclaim. And I'm not against his ministry. God bless him to help him help people. He helps alcoholics and drug addicts and everybody else like that. Several doing it in New York, amongst Protestants, Catholic men and women both. But he walked out of Brother Branham's meeting saying to a man, I've had enough of this nonsense. Soon as they got a little ministry, they were too big to listen. Moses, the giant lawgiver. But as soon as the Byron, Dathan, and Korah had a little ministry, just a little ministry, they rose up and said, well, who has to listen to you? We got some too. I would challenge all the world to stand against William Branham. I did it before he died, and I'm doing it after he died. Let anybody dare to say any man could stand up and do it, because I was in his presence when he said, bring me your 24 worst cases. Bring them to me. I guarantee healing for all, and he could do it. Where 2,000 could walk down the line and not one but was healed. Bring them all together. I mean it before God, I swear, bring them all. Raise them all from Paul onward, everyone from the dead, and let them all come and stand against that one man. Nothing in history, brother, sister, can prove me wrong. He was the only one who could do it. The only one who did do it. The only one who could and did. Nobody else are all together. I wonder if they read their Bibles the way we're reading ours this morning, seeing these things. No, they can't. Now, they've got the same word, brother, sister. They have, but they're not reading it like we're reading it. You know where the Bible, where you oftentimes you read when you're singing a song, it says, sing with understanding or play with understanding, you know. If a person has a violin, supposed to cry, you don't make it do a jig, do you? You make the violin cry. You're supposed to read the Bible the same way. Read it with understanding. Read it for the day that you're in. Don't try to spread this message back to Pentecost, and don't try to bring Pentecost today. Don't give me Moses. He was finished. Give me the light of the eventide. Now, Brother Bayless, it's not too bright. That's exactly what the Bible said. There'll be a day coming. It's not either night nor day. But there'll be light in that foggy period. I want to tell you something, brother, sister. When it's neither light nor day, the best you can do is say it is light. The light that you see. Because a light never shines too good except it gets dark. But the day's coming, it's going to be plenty dark, brother, sister, and we'll thank God we had that light. And he said here, a good man out of the good treasury heart bringeth forth good things, an evil man out of the evil heart, evil treasure bringeth forth evil things. But I say unto you that every idle word that men shall say, they shall give account of the day of judgment. Every word. Every word of faith and non-faith. Faith is the word and truth and all. But they're going to miss it. Now, the son of David, according to Scripture, would have to be the woman's seed. That's right. According to Scripture, the son of David would be the woman's seed. Because it identifies. They knew the original promise in the garden went to Israel. They understood it only too well. And it did. They made him out to be the other seed. What other seed? The serpent. They said, no, this is not the one. This is the other one. They spiritualized the seed of God and literalized the seed of the serpent. And today you've got the same thing. Now think on it. How many people do you know outside of this message that believe there is a real serpent seed that came by Eve through the serpent? And he's a being, a human being, just like us. No. No, sir, they believe it's a spiritual thing. They believe that we're all sort of serpent seed, and when we get God seed, we become God seed. Well, that's like saying a goat becomes a sheep, and a pig becomes a sheep, and a dog becomes a sheep. Ain't no such animal. A sheep always was a sheep, but he was a stray. We had the sinner's nature, but we weren't reprobate. And the Bible proves who the reprobate is, except you have the Spirit of Christ, you're none of his. Oh, they literalized. They could literalize the serpent seed in that day and say, there he is, he's a man, he's that rotten one.
Now today we come along and we say, well, isn't this strange now? We say, isn't it wonderful? Jesus Christ is in the flesh in us, but you know that serpent seed, you can't pay any attention to that because you know how that is. You know, that serpent seed, that's just a spiritual thing.
It's not. It's a physical, real thing. It's people who've got the wrong genes in them.
Where did your genes come from? He said, Adam and Eve, in the serpent. Israel as a nation missed the truth that God was being manifested in flesh before them. They missed the fact that God was taking His word and bringing it to pass where? In a man. How will God bring His word to pass for this day? He will bring it to pass in the bride. The bride will be God's own word manifested. Every scripture where God says, as it was in the days of Noah, those days will come back. So shall it be in the days of the coming of the Son of Man. Those days will come back. And they'll come back in people, because you can't have Noah's days without people. Neither can you have the days of Jesus Christ without a man. Why? Noah was singular. His days came back. Son of Man, singular, his days come back. What for? For people. As it was in the days of Noah, the multitude would not listen. Some went into the ark. In the days of Christ, what is it? Some will listen. They're people. You can't have a word fulfilled without people. Why? Because this is a book of people and for people. Now, what happened? Israel missed the truth, but the true seed did not. Now, I'm going to take two or three more minutes, then we'll let you go. Then I'll, if you want to come back tonight and we'll get into some basic facts on this one God, that's all right. Luke 1:13-17. Notice what it said. The angel said unto Zechariah, fear not, Zechariah, for thy prayer is heard, and thy wife Elizabeth shall bear thee a son, and thou shalt call his name John. Thou shalt have joy and gladness, and many shall rejoice at his birth. Now I'll tell you one thing. Old Zechariah, he didn't think that God was hearing his prayers, I can tell you that. The scripture comes and says, the angel came and said, your prayers have been heard. But poor old Zechariah didn't know it. Didn't even believe it. But you see, God can delay a long time before your prayer gets heard. And it says here, for he shall be great in the sight of the Lord, and shall drink neither wine nor strong drink, and he shall be filled with the Holy Ghost even from his mother's womb, before he's born and have the Holy Ghost. And many of the children of Israel shall he turn to the Lord their God. See? And he shall go before God in the power and spirit of Elijah to turn the hearts of the fathers to the children, and the disobedient to the wisdom of the just, to make ready a people prepared to the Lord. Now, that's what this man Zechariah, he knew it. The 28th verse of the same chapter in 35. Then his concerning Simeon. And then he took him up in his arms and blessed God and said, Lord, now let thy servant depart in peace according to thy word. According to your word, what word? The revealed word of God that a woman should bear a baby apart from male intervention. According to Isaiah. According to Micah. According to all the scripture concerning this blessed one coming, he said, Lord, according to your word, for mine eyes have seen thy salvation. I saw, Lord, what your word declared. Here it is. And he looked at the baby Jesus. This is the word. This is what John saw. Right? For mine eyes have seen thy salvation, which thou hast prepared before the face of all people, a light to lighten the Gentiles, and the glory of thy people Israel. Notice, the light to lighten the Gentiles precedes the glory of Israel. Israel didn't want that. They said, give us the glory, we'll take care of the Gentiles. God said, no, sir, Gentiles come in first, then you can have glory. And Joseph and his mother marveled at those things were spoken. Why did they marvel? Because how does this old boy know what we know? Who told him? How come he's in our secret? When Joseph found out that Mary was pregnant, no doubt she told him. She'd have to tell him, to be honest. I don't think she waited until she showed it. Well, he said, that's a fine lot of talk. He said, that's been going on for the ages. He said, this talk. He said, that's the old temple prostitute theory, too. He said, don't worry, you weren't touched by the God. Some man came up there in the dark. Angel of God appeared and said, Joseph, don't be afraid. She told you exactly right. She has not been touched by a man. The fact is, she is bearing a holy being in her. In other words, a flesh filled with God's blood, because God would be in that creature. A fit sacrifice. And he said, don't be afraid to take her. So he said, I won't put her away, I'll take her.
You think they told that secret far and wide?
No, he'd cover up for his own sake, don't worry. I don't believe that was blabbed too much until later on.
So how do these people know? What's going on here? How does this old fellow know that?
The very thing that the angel told us both. This fellow comes along and he ought to know something because he belonged in the temple here. Now how did he know that?
And Simeon blessed him. And he said to Mary his mother, behold, this child is set for the fall and rise of many. Arising again of men in Israel. Notice the fallen rising again, men in Israel. And for a sign which shall be spoken against, yea, a sword shall also pierce to thine own soul, that the thoughts of many hearts may be revealed. And there was Anna, a prophetess, the daughter of Phanuel, of the tribe of Aser. She was a great age, and lived with her husband 7 years from her virginity. And she was a widow about 84 years, which departed not from the temple, but prayed, served God as fasting and prayers. Now, if a woman wants to go in the church and do something for God, here's the key. There it is right there. Doesn't say she's a priestess or a minister. It says she's praying and fasting. That's good. And she coming in that instant gave thanks likewise to the Lord and spake of him to all that looked for redemption in Jerusalem. And they said, how did she know? What was it? She saw him in through prophecy. That's scripture. A woman can prophesy. But she didn't get any the original revelation. But there it was. They understood because God showed them. He showed Mary, he showed Joseph, he showed Simeon, he showed Anna, and he showed others. And the seed were the ones who had the word for their day. Now, as I said, Israel could not accept the one great God as tabernacling in flesh, and the one whose name was Jesus. And today, many people cannot accept the one God precept of the Lord Jesus Christ. Israel could not accept Jesus and Lord and Christ. He could not take him as Lord and Christ. The church today cannot take him as Lord in Christ. The best the church is willing to do is to accept him as one of the three identical beings, except that he is spirit, veiled in flesh, whereas the other two are unclothed spirits. Isn't that strange that they do? They say Jesus is spirit clothed in flesh, but the other two are not clothed spirits. As Israel made him a man and rejected him, so now does the church reject him as the complete revelation of the Godhead. See? Time's up. Israel turned him down. And the argument was, you being a man have made yourself God. Didn't say two gods. Didn't say a second God. It says, you're coming down here and telling us you're God. Now, Abraham, we know Abraham. And we know that he saw God manifest as a human being, but he wasn't a human being. We know the case of a Melchizedek was the same thing. But we know all about where you were born. So don't try to tell us now that you're that same one come in human flesh. You are nothing but an illegitimate child, and you're a perverted bum that have nothing to do with you. In fact, from what we can see, you are of the wrong seed. And he said, I'll forgive you. He couldn't do anything else but it. But he said, when that day comes, and I'm coming back as the Holy Ghost, and you turn that down, he said, you haven't got a chance. Now, brother, sister, it says the days of the Son of Man would repeat. It means that multitudes are going to miss the revelation that God is the Lord Jesus Christ. And the Lord Jesus Christ is the one God. And when that revelation breaks, which is restoration, because the truth of the Godhead must be revealed as primary, otherwise you don't know who you're worshiping or why. Like the one with the well. He said, you don't even know who you worship or why. And he said, all right, just like that, she caught fire. And then be baptized in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. And then be full of the Holy Ghost. I believe that many people today who claim they're full of the Holy Ghost are not full of the Holy Ghost. I believe that multitudes are baptized in Father, Son, and Holy Ghost, which is all right for their day. The revelation never came back. It's back now, though. Many people think they're all right. They must be rebaptized because the truth has come. It was all right for the disciples of John in the 19th chapter of Acts until the truth came. They were doing just fine. But as soon as the truth came, they had to go on and be baptized right. To be baptized in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ and then believe to receive the Holy Ghost. I believe multitudes who think they have the Holy Ghost have not got the Holy Ghost. When this word of truth comes, there's just one thing to do. and that's to listen to the word of truth. I don't know how far you've come. That's not my business to know. God has not given me that. That's the prophet's gift, not leave in. I'm just a little old 2x4 preacher trying to preach a little bit. But I want you to know one thing, brother and sister, that I've told you the truth this morning. And I've showed you Israel had the truth. But brother and sister, it wasn't truth until it was revealed. You can have all the food sitting here in this building, beautiful, good food, but until you eat it and your body chemistry goes to work on it, it doesn't become your energy. Neither will the Word become your energy, and you become that manifested Word until you receive that Word and the Holy Spirit brings it into life process in your being. And then, that's the only way it's real. The Lord bless you. You've been very good. I know I'm never too good to people. It's all right. I got a purpose in my way of being a little rough, but that's all right. I wouldn't hurt anybody for anything. I'm only bold like Paul when I preach. The rest of the time I run away. I've got no time for argument, no time for fooling. I'm only bold up here because I know what I got to say, and I say it in my way, which I know is not too nice a way many times, but believe me, I haven't tried to hurt anybody. But I hope you've seen this, and if you've been helped to see, brother, sister, there is a word for your day. Don't miss it. Don't miss it. And in this day, there's one thing we must be so careful, and that is let us not be fooled by dissension amongst people. People say, well, Brother Dave, you know the people who believe Brother Branham, they're pulling 50 ways. Yes, they pull 50 ways. They're going to keep on doing it, too. Until the mind of the Spirit comes to each one who is in the bride, then she'll have the mind of God. Just love each other. Go to church and worship with each other. Especially, yeah, I know that I'm not worried about this church growing because I'm not here to make this church grow. 5DD, that's the last thing I'd ever want to do. But do your best to fellowship where there's the closest mindedness you can go. If you've got a church that's good, close minded to this message, that's fine. I wish I had one close to me. I don't have that happy little aura there to work in. But stay with the Word. Stay with the Word of the prophet. See? Not that you're afraid of what other men may say. No, sir, that's not it. But remember, brother, sister, Israel went astray in majority. Remember, Israel was the only true people. Israel alone had the Word. Israel alone had God. Israel alone had it. Amongst those perverted ones, he said, the kingdom of God is in the midst of you. It wasn't in Rome. It wasn't in Athens. The kingdom was amongst Israel only, yet they killed and crucified the Lord Jesus Christ. The most respected spiritual people today. Beware in this end time, brother, sister. Beware. There's going to be a little group comes out, and that's all. May God have pity on you. Now, stir you up in your mind. Stir you up in your heart to show you this is an end-time message. Be sure you're in the Word for your day. Not 20 years ago. Not 50 years ago. Not 1,000 years ago. Not trying to get back to Pentecost. That's only for restoration. We're standing here waiting for the change. In a moment. In a twinkling of an eye. Anytime. I mean it. Anytime. Anytime the graves will open. May God have pity on us. And may our faith be great enough to be changed, because Enoch took his long last walk by faith. And he pleased God, and he was taken. Amen. Let's rise and be dismissed. Tonight I'll continue the message on the first, the oneness of the Godhead. Gracious Heavenly Father, we want to thank you for allowing us to come together. To lovely, sweet, blessed people, Lord, you could come out and hear your word. And I pray, my God, that they will understand, as they have not understood before, especially my Lord, that it's not trying to cram anything down anybody's neck. It's not trying to make anybody see something, Lord. No, that's not it. But Lord, to just bring out your truth this morning, which is truth. To preach it, my God, even as Paul preached it. Not only for the people's sake, but for the sake of even the one that was preaching. Because it does so good to bring out the truth of Almighty God. It is so sweet to have illumination moment by moment and letter upon letter of your word, Lord, to know that we're growing deeper and deeper in the truth of the living God. We thank you, Lord, for the word for our day. That was a statement, Lord, we never understood. And we could not have understood it some time back. We would have said, oh, it's the whole word. We take it all. We do take it all. But there's only a part, Lord, that's for us at this day. And I want to just praise your name, Lord, and believe for us people here this morning, oh God, that we are in the word for our day. Hallelujah. And the Spirit of God is moving in us until one day we become that manifested word in its fullness. And we will have thus set the Lord in his law. And we shall see the dead come out of the grave. And we shall be changed to rise with them. Lord, this morning we're able to believe that on the grounds of the truth as it is in Jesus Christ. who not only is our sacrifice, but who rose for our justification. And even now, we can say with him and know with reality that he that believeth on you and believes the words that you gave has passed from life unto death, and we shall not come into the judgment, but are even now passed from life unto death. Thank you, Lord, for that truth, so that no one can lay a charge against us. Lord, keep us ever mindful of this. Keep us ever rejoicing in it. And unto thee we shall ascribe the honor and the glory, because thou art worthy. In Jesus' name, amen. God bless you.